clothing. That's awesome. Non-controversial. Everyone, just be easy, all right? Turn to Isaiah chapter 61. And Isaiah chapter number 61, preach a message this morning called Let Witches Wear Britches. And I'm looking forward to it. Thought that was a great title, man. It's like, how did you get my notes? I was like, man, it's incredible. I had to change everything. So luckily, my wife had a second sermon that I was able to do. And so that was a blessing as well. And I privileged to speak this morning and on the subject of clothing. When I got contacted about this, hung up the phone, I told my wife, been invited to preach at a preaching conference. And I said, they have topics, and they gave me clothing. She said, what? I was like, yeah, I know. I'm going to make all kinds of friends today. All right, so that'd be great. I'd be glad to talk to you about anything I preach about. I will not argue with anyone, so if you want to argue, my wife's good at that, so see her, all right? All right. And then not only that, but when I got up here, I realized I'm preaching on standards in front of Pastor Allison, who wrote the book on standards. Literally, I have it, all right? I bought it 21 years ago when I was in college, all right? So if that made me feel old, all right. So don't you love Pastor Allison? I love Pastor Allison. He's preached a few times at our church, and our people love him. They always ask, when's that Southern guy coming back? So they like him a lot. It's frustrating as a pastor sometimes when you look around at other churches, because what I have found as a pastor is that you have many churches that have good doctrine, but they have no standards. And then on the other side, you find a church that has standards. You're like, oh, this is awesome. Then they don't have any doctrine. And it's hard to find a church today, and I'm being all serious, that has doctrine and standards. It's difficult. I thank the Lord there are still some. Amen. And you're at one, and praise the Lord for it. But the next generation needs to know not just what you believe, but why you believe it. The book of Proverbs teaches that there's knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Knowledge is knowing what you should do. Wisdom is how to do it. And understanding is why you do it. And really, you can know, you can have knowledge and wisdom, but if you don't have understanding why you're doing what you're doing, it probably ain't going to last. That's why the book of Proverbs says, with all thy getting, get understanding. Because if we don't have understanding, I mean, everybody here today pretty much knows, has knowledge. You know what to wear because you have it on. You know how to wear it because you knew how to put it on. But do you have understanding? Do you know why you are dressing the way you are? You say, yeah, because my youth pastor told me to, right? Maybe. But the fact is this, if you don't get understanding, it probably won't last. If you don't get a biblical understanding of why we do, and everything we do must be biblically based. If it's not a biblical standard, then it's just a preference. Just based on your feelings. It's already been preached on. Dr. Starr did a great job on that. All right. The Word of God does teach us when it comes to clothing. And I'm going to preach some things this morning, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you some things you are not going to agree with, all right? But that's part of being independent Baptist, all right? My daddy taught me this when I was a kid. He said, son, he said, you're going to meet people all the time that have a lower standard than what you have, and you need to love them. You think you're going to meet people that have a higher standard than you, and you better ask why they have that standard. And if it's biblical, you need to change your life. So I'm going to present some things to you this morning, and then it's up to you, the Lord, your pastor. We'll work together, but I thank the Lord today. We're all sitting in a place. We'll look at it in a minute. We have the same Holy Spirit that guides only into truth. And so if you'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, He will guide us into truth. He cannot do anything else than that. He will guide us into truth. So let's look at some things, what the Bible says about dress. And Brother Olson did a tremendous job this morning, and I just wanted you to keep on preaching, because I really could just get up and say what he said. All right, you know, it's pretty good. But we'll add a little bit more, I guess. But Isaiah chapter 61, we're going to use our Bible a lot. All right, so get ready. All right, it's like seventh grade sword drill time. We're going to have to move quick. All right, I have 35 minutes to preach. Basically, I've combined six sermons into one. Each one was about an hour when I preached it, so yeah, forget the Sox game, all right? All right, could be worse. You could be a Reds fan where I'm from, and we are terrible, all right? So at least you score runs. Isaiah chapter 61 and in verse number 10 says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. So here we've been clothed. If you're saved today, you've been clothed in the garments of salvation. You have been covered in righteousness. Amen? Turn back to Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31. Again, you can use the Bible a lot, so be ready. And I do that on purpose, especially on a message like this. I do not want you to leave today thinking that, you know, well, I heard Travis Burke's opinion on this. I just want our sermon today to be focused on the Word of God, all right? In Proverbs chapter 31 and in verse number 17. Proverbs 31 verse number 17 says this, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Down in verse number 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Turn back a few more pages to Job in chapter number 29. Job chapter number 29 and in verse number 14. Job chapter number 29 and in verse number 14. Job 29 verse number 14 says this, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 5, and then we'll get moving here. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and in verse number 5. 1 Peter 5 and in verse number 5. It says this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, I just read a few verses to you this morning to get us started. But as a believer today, we should be clothed and we should be clothed in salvation, righteousness, strength, honor, and humility. Those should be garments that every one of us have put on as a child of God. And if we have put on these clothes, as the Bible says, of strength and honor and humility and righteousness, it will have no problem showing itself on our outward clothing. Because the outward clothing, you ever heard the phrase, you know, clothes make the man? Well, it isn't quite true. Clothes reveal the man. And the way you dress says a lot about what you are on the inside. And I'm going to share some things this morning, some of which you'll probably amen, shout hallelujah, run up and down the aisle. Some of which you'll probably hate my guts and want to throw stones at me after the service, but I'm good with it, all right? Start to say I've been stoned before, but that probably not sound right, all right? Not been. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look at this real quick. Ready? 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse number 1. You're pretty much there. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith. Aren't you thankful today that all of us that are saved this morning share a like precious faith? It says there, with us through the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. You got saved. His righteousness was placed on our account. Now, if you don't amen that, you need to study your Bible because you wouldn't go to heaven if it wasn't for that. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We'll keep reading. It says there, the righteousness of God. We have the same God today. That's right. Amen? Me and that brother do. I don't know about the rest of you, right? We have the same God. Verse says, in our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace. Aren't you thankful for the grace and peace of God this morning? We have grace and peace. Be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. If you're saved today, you have everything you need to live a life of godliness. It's already in you. There's some people say, well, I'm just not as spiritual as that person, all right? If you're saved, you have no excuse not to live a godly life. Now, we all have to grow. I'm still growing in the Lord. I hope you are. If you're not growing in the Lord, then you're dying spiritually, all right? But we all ought to be growing. If you sit there and say, well, I've attained my spiritual zenith, all right? You've never been farther from it, all right? We are all growing until the day that we are all perfected when we are with the Lord. What a day that's going to be. But we all have everything we need to live a godly life. It says there again, to pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Our life should be about bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life should be about living a virtuous life that just points people to the Lord. We have everything we need in order to do that. But it comes through a knowledge of him. Now, I'm going to give you some things in the Word of God about dress this morning, but I'm just encouraging you. Whether you see it or not, you just keep getting to know the Lord, and the Lord will help everything else fall in place. Keep growing in the Lord. Verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I'm thankful for all of us sitting in this room today have great and precious promises. And those promises there in verse number 4, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We get to share in the divine nature of God. What a blessing. Amen. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If you're saved and living in the corruption of this world, you're not enjoying the benefit of salvation. If you're going to be a sold out, born again believer, you have to be separated. Now I'm going to settle everything before you get into the sermon, right? This is all introduction. This is awesome, right? Here we go. Cruising. Sermon number 2. Here we go, ready? This will settle all issues of standards no matter what. When Peter addresses it here, he started, let's just keep on going. In verse number 8, understand this, you owe everything to the Savior. For if these things being you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Number 1, we all just need to remind ourselves what we've been saved from. Amen. And where we'd be if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we want to be like the dog and go back to our vomit, we are forgetting what God purged us from. Yes, sir. And we want to go and live like the old man, you are forgetting what it cost for Christ to save you. And if you'll stop and think about what the Lord did for you so that you can have eternal life and the new life that he's giving you and the new nature he is and all the promises that he has blessed you with, how can we go back? It is a reasonable service, Paul said, to serve the Lord. We remember we have a Savior. We remember also there in chapter 1, verse 15, we have the Scriptures. It says, and moreover, I will endeavor that ye be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance, for we have not followed cunning device fables. There's a lot of those out there now, especially about dress. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Go down to verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We have the Scriptures. We not only have a Savior, but we have the Scriptures. And when you're trying to decide these standards in your life, do not forget that we owe everything to the Savior. And do not forget that we have an authority. It is the Scriptures. It's really simple. Whatever it says, do it. Amen. You know, Brother Olson just mentioned Deuteronomy chapter 22. And he's exactly right. It's still in the Bible. You should wear what pertains to you. In Exodus chapter 28, it defines nakedness. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, it talks about modesty. And he addressed these things. And what we need to do is not try to privately interpret it, but obey it. Amen. We have the Scriptures, we have a Savior, and then we have forgotten sometimes in chapter number 2 about our sovereignty. We belong to God. In chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And they're out there. I told our church just the other day, I was preaching on some standards. I said, you can find a preacher that will agree with whatever and however you want to live. They're out there. I hate when someone comes up to me and says, I read Pastor so-and-so, and he said that. I don't care what he said. Everyone has the right to be wrong, right? The Lord put you where it pleased him, and guess what? You're in my church. So it pleased him for you to learn from me, all right? But it keeps going. It says, teachers among you privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Sovereignty. You belong to God. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. So when you decide what to put on and how you're going to wear your hair and how you're going to appear, you need to remember, it's not me. I belong to him. In the same chapter, it talks about there in verse number 15, says, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer. You remember the story of Balaam. It's one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible. I love that story. Balaam there is going to curse God's people, and remember the donkey goes astray, finally gets off and he beats the donkey. And the greatest part of that story is not when the donkey talks. It's when he talks back to the donkey. Can you imagine if the donkey talked to me? I would not say, well, it's your fault, right? I'm going to be running. The donkey talked, right? But the donkey like says, why are you beating me? And then he sees the angel, and then remember he goes and he blesses Israel. Balak gets all mad and says, I paid you all this money to curse them. I can't curse them. God won't let me. I have to bless them. But then he said, I'll tell you what to do. Go ahead and have all your daughters intermingle with their men. And pretty soon, their cultures will be kind of all muddied up, and God can't bless that. And the doctrine of Balaam is everywhere today. And part of the problem at Dress is you have swallowed the doctrine of Balaam. Remember in sovereignty, we belong to God. At the end of that chapter, in chapter number 2, simply says, but it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed, her own wallowing in the mire. You go out there and start putting back on the old garments and the old things of the flesh, you're a dog going back to its vomit. Remember, sovereignty. And then remember in chapter number 3, the second coming. It says there in chapter number 3, in verse number 1, the second epistle, I now write unto you, verse number 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers. Oh, they make fun of you, don't they? They make fun of me. They make fun of my wife and my daughters, you know. You all know we have a Christian school that has a decent volleyball and basketball team. Right? And just want to point that out again. We play some Christian schools around us. I ain't kidding. While our girls were serving this year in volleyball, some of the mothers from the other school were saying, be careful, your skirt might go up a little bit. Making saying, how can you wear those skirts? You look like a dork. And just ragging on our girls while they're trying to play volleyball. They're scoffers. That's fine. Because the Lord's coming back. Amen? The Lord is coming back. And in chapter number 3, verse number 8, but beloved, be not ignorant. This one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his longsuffering to us, who are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. He's coming back. And when he comes back, I don't want to be dressed in a tank top and a pair of Bermuda shorts, right? I want to look like a Christian. Because I need to remember he's my Savior. I just got to follow the Scriptures. I got to remember he's my King. And I got to remember he's coming back. And 1 John chapter number 3 says, if we have this blessed hope, we will purify ourselves. Yes, if you're looking for the return of Christ, it will change the way you dress. But your clothing speaks a language. I mean, everything you put on speaks a language. When I say a policeman, you think of a certain dress. When I say a preacher, you think of a certain dress. And you know, when someone comes in, as Brother Gorman preached last night with their saggy pants on, right? That was awesome. You know the way that they that messed up hair. Don't you? Where was that hairdo when I was a kid, man? All right, it's awesome. You just get out of bed and perfect. All right. I don't even know how they spend time on it, right? I do that naturally. I would be a natural punk, right? But, you know, but they work on that to get that look, right? They wear their hat every way but the way it should be. Remember this. Your life is always headed the same direction as your ball cap. It's one of them quotes. You can put it in the next paper, right? Always abounding. Top, right? Your life is always heading the way you're ball. It's true, though, right? Put your hat on backwards. I know where you're going, right? Crooked. Right? You know, it's the way it is, all right? It's the fact is, all right? But your language speaks a clothing. The way that you dress says what you are. Go back to Genesis chapter number 2. It's referred to Genesis chapter number 2. Now we're going to start moving. I'm almost to the sermon. Genesis chapter number 2. God made Adam and Eve. When he made male and female, the Bible says that they were clothed, I believe, in the glory of God. And in chapter number 2 in Genesis, I won't for time's sake read most of the chapter, but just go down to verse number 23. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." When God created man and woman, he created them, physically speaking, they were naked, but they were clothed in the glory of God. They didn't realize that because they had that righteousness upon them. But when sin came, immediately, they knew that they were naked. And they were filled with what? Shame. The first thing they did was they went and they tried to grab some fig leaves and cover their shame. It was Lester Roloff who said clothing started with fig leaves and it looks like it's going to end up that way, right? He's probably right. But the fact is this, they knew that they had to cover their shame, but that was not sufficient. When God's presence was there, they hid because they knew that was not sufficient. Then they tried to make themselves aprons. That too was not sufficient. They still were shamed with their aprons on. Because as a child of God, remember, our main clothing is that of salvation, strength, honor, humility, and righteousness. When we put on this clothing on the inside, it will naturally be on the outside as well. Our inside and our outside should speak the same language. When we have the clothing of salvation on the inside, then on the outside, we want people to see Christ. When we are clothed on the inside in righteousness, then we want people on the outside to see holiness. When we are clothed on the inside with strength, then we want people to see on the outside what a mighty God we serve that changed my life. When we are clothed with honor on the inside, then we want to live and dress in a way that brings respect and demands respect and glory to God. Now, let me ask you a question. What do your clothes say? Not what you have on today, because you all know what to put on today, but what when you go back home, when you open your closet, what do your clothes say? Your clothes should speak of the righteousness, holiness, strength, honor. That's what should be on the inside and should show itself on the outside. So what is the clothing? I mean, we could preach on this forever, all right? What is the clothing? In Matthew chapter number 7, and you don't have to turn there, but in verse number 15 says, "Beware of wolves in what?" Yeah, right? And I've seen in my ministry and growing up in the ministry, I've seen many wolves in sheep's clothing, as you have too. But I've never for the life of me figured out why a sheep would want to dress in wolves' clothing. But some of you do. Some of you do. We as Christians, the Bible says, we're like sheep. Amen? I haven't said nothing weird yet, right? You can still amen, right? All we like sheep have gone astray, right? The Lord's our shepherd, right? You know, same Bible, all right? We're like sheep. So if we're like sheep, let me give you a sermon I hope you'll remember. Ready? About sheep's clothing. Now keep all that other stuff in mind, but number one, sheep's clothing covers them completely. From head to hoof. I believe that speaks of the righteousness we are to be clothed in. Keep your bodies covered. Adam and Eve put on fig leaves. No. They put on an apron. No. God said that's not enough. And God made them what? A coat. By the way, he didn't make a coat for Eve and a nice little apron cut off for Adam. Amen. You can't argue that, all right? You can't argue it. You're afraid to agree now. I just, cricket, all right, yeah. Yes, he made the same garments for them both. Now, we're going to talk about the distinction in a minute, but there's a reason. What was a coat? It was that long flowing garment. It covered themselves. It covered their what? Nakedness. Their nakedness is their what? Shame. In Revelation chapter number 3, let's look at these verses real quick because I can tell you I need to prove this to you. Revelation chapter number 3, go quickly. Revelation chapter 3 and in verse number 18. Revelation chapter 3 and in verse number 18. And I will go ahead and get ready to read a few verses. Ready? If you want to write them down, you can look at them again. Revelation chapter 3 and in verse number 18. It says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. It is shame to be naked. In Revelation chapter number 16 and in verse number 15. Revelation chapter 16 and in verse number 15 says this. Revelation 16, 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his what? Nakedness is shame. Isaiah chapter number 47. I'll read this verse to you. You can look it up. I promise it says this. Verse number 3. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. Nakedness is shame. Back in Exodus in chapter number 32 and in verse number 25. Exodus chapter 32 and in verse number 25. As soon as I get there, I'm going to read that. Exodus chapter 32. And in verse number 25, says this, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame. By the way, among their enemies. Can I tell you, the world's watching you too. And when you do not cover your nakedness, it is shame. And can I tell you why you would want to dress naked? I'll tell you why. Because nakedness is what? Shame. You're allowed to say that. Nakedness is what? Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. You know why you want to dress naked? Because you love yourself. You are full of pride. And you're wanting to show off yourself. And you have a pride problem, and pride always brings shame. Now, we want to cover our nakedness. What is nakedness? Isaiah chapter number 20. Look at these real quick. Isaiah chapter 20. I told you, you got to go quick. Please stay with me. All right, Isaiah chapter number 20. And in verse number 4. Isaiah 20, verse 4. Again, I do not want this to be my opinion, so we're going to look at the scriptures. Isaiah 20, and in verse number 4, it says this. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners, and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. Obviously, number one, nakedness is your buttocks. If you want to know the Greek in that, see Pastor Armakos, please. All right? But it is the nakedness, all right, is your buttocks. Also in Isaiah chapter 47 and in verse number 2. Isaiah chapter 47 and in verse number 2 says this. Isaiah 47 and verse number 2. It was read already, Brother Olson. Take the millstone and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy what? Shame shall be seen. So we know the buttocks is nakedness. We know the thigh is nakedness. And by the way, turn back in Exodus, please, in chapter number 28. Exodus chapter number 28 and in verse number 42. Exodus chapter 28 and in verse number 42. They're talking here about when serving there at the tabernacle, and they would have to go up to the altar. And it says there, the instructions in Exodus chapter 28, verse number 42, and thou shalt make them linen breeches. There's the word Brother Olson talked about, to cover their nakedness. And here's the definition, and I'll add a little bit to Brother Olson's, right? For a man here, from the loins even unto the thigh shall they reach. That's what it says. So nakedness is defined as being the thigh, and also from the loins to the thigh, it is the buttocks. You keep yourself covered. Those are biblical definitions for nakedness. Amen? That's what the Bible says. By the way, I won't go there, but you also need to keep your shirt on too. In John chapter 21 and verse number 7, it talks about how Peter was fishing. And remember when Jesus approached and Peter said, hey, someone said, hey, here comes Jesus. Remember what Peter said? Where's my coat? Because he was naked. In the chest is nakedness. Again, that's why God made coats in the garden, because they covered the trunk, it covered the loins, it covered the buttocks, and it covered the thigh. That's nakedness. And when we cross that line, and I agree, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is when it talks about the hair. All right. And it says again, 1 Corinthians 11 and in verse number 3, it says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. God believes in order. God believes in submission to authority. That does not mean that man is a superior being to woman, just as Christ is in no way inferior to God. They are both God. They're both equal. Amen? So with man and woman, it doesn't mean, you know, trust me, my wife's smarter than me on a lot of things, all right? Not much, all right? A lot. I probably shouldn't use the word a lot. But there are things, right? But the fact is this. Right? I'm not a superior being. We are both sinners saved by the grace of God. But God directed that I be the leader in my home and that she submit to that authority. Now, part of this, in shown in this passage of Scripture, is that a woman should keep her head covered. She should have long hair. She should have, and Brother Olson talked about it, hair that covers the head. Have you ever wondered... Does God think appearance is important? Yes, he does. And do you know in this passage of Scripture, it tells us one of the main reasons why our appearance is so special? I don't know if you ever noticed it or not. We'll keep reading there in verse number 4. Every man praying or prophesying have his head covered. Now, I don't think you believe that that's, you know, referring to bonnets and head, because none of you have it on, so obviously you're on the same page as me. All right, so it's the hair, and the Bible specifically says that the hair is the covering, all right? But in any case, we keep going. Verse number 8, for the man is not of the woman, the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now look at verse number 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of what? Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Did you know the angels are paying attention to your appearance? That's what it says. Women are supposed to have long hair and men short hair because of the angels. You're all staring at me. That's what the Bible says, all right? Now, why would they care? Because the very first act of sin was that of rebellion. And when Satan came and introduced sin to mankind, he immediately went to who? The woman. And attacked her through logic. A woman is created to respond in feelings and emotions more than logic. And man should be the leader in that he thinks more logically. I won't touch that any more than that, all right? But that's what it is, all right? But he went and appealed to her logic. Yea, hath God said, you'll be like God. And he started, and what'd she do? She stepped out of her bounds. And then how did the man respond? He wasn't betrayed, all right, or deceived by Satan. He took it because he saw Eve took it. Something in his heart said, if that's what she did, then that's what I'm going to do. And he willingly ate that. And by the way, the sin curse came through the man. But it all happened because roles were reversed. And when the roles are reversed, whenever this gets out of order, it always brings destruction. That's right. And that's why clothing is a big deal, because the angels are watching. They're watching. And I believe the angels in heaven, when they see a submissive lady to her husband, when they see men and women dressing in a godly apparel, they see one thing. They are bringing glory to God. But when the demonic angels see it, they see somebody they can go after. Because the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking what? And you're putting a target on your back, carnal Christian. You are saying, come on, I'm weak. Come on, I've got rebellion in my heart. They're watching. I just showed you that. They're watching. And God said, the Holy Spirit said, you need to have your hair. By the way, doth not nature itself teach you? I believe that God didn't leave anything up to question. As a man, I've got a natural line here, all right? You know, it goes right over my ears and back. Some of you, you've gone even further on your natural line, all right? And that's awesome. But We have this natural line, all right? Doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a what? Nakedness is a what? The devil wants to shame you. Because if you feel ashamed, you become incompetent. You feel like you can't do anything. So he tries to bring shame. And so again, but a woman will have long hair, and it's all a matter of authority. And we'll get back to that in a minute. Let's go all the way back, right? But the fact is this, we need to cover our nakedness. And God has defined nakedness. He gave it to us very clearly in these passages of Scripture. So the question is, are you going to cover your nakedness? Right or wrong? You know, and you have to make that choice. God did not, and I just showed it to you, they talked about the men in Exodus, same role for the women there in Isaiah, but he didn't make a difference. Loin to thighs. The chest is to be covered. So ladies, you should wear a long skirt. Men should wear pants and not put on a peep show, either one of you. And I understand you say, well, you know, what's a hairy leg going to do to, you know, for some woman, right? Well, number one, we live in a lustful society, and we just saw the amount of women that are addicted to perversion. And then again, maybe you may rethink that argument. Natural desires, the book of Romans teaches, are all messed up in these last days. So the question comes, what are we going to do with that? I mean, what are we, you know, you say, well, certain activities demand it. Listen, I've told my daughters and I've told our young ladies who are here from our church this week, they'll tell you, if there's an activity that demands you to dress immodestly, you don't do the activity. It's really simple, all right? You'll never find me in the Olympics doing the high dive. Although that would make quite the splash. Because if I ever did participate, I would have on a pair of pants and a shirt, and that probably would be very peculiar, right? You say, well, you know, because because the fact is, nakedness is nakedness. So we just put on a shirt, still naked. We'll put on, you know, more than what those divers are wearing, right? Still naked for a long time. When did we decide what activities were okay in a disregard of what God said? Last I checked, we don't have that authority. What God says, we're supposed to what? Obey. And so I want to live a life that doesn't leave me wondering if I'm right with God. I just want to know that I'm right with God. I mean, how would you like it if some of the ladies came up here to sing a special and their skirts are right there on the line? When they took that step right there, everyone had to turn their head. You'd say, Pastor Damon, you got to do something about this, right? Well, what's the difference, biblically speaking, when our guys do the same thing? Nakedness is nakedness. And when you're running and diving and every time anybody ever steps at a free throw, every whatever reason we have to do it, time to shoot a free throw, right? I don't know why we do it, but we do. But the fact is this, what does the Bible say? You say, well, I just don't see it that way. Aren't you glad we don't judge every other standard by that? Well, and I'll be the first one to tell you, I've said it, you can come to my church and go back sermon audio, you'll find me saying it, all right? If a guy has on a pair of, you know, pants that go to the bottom of his knee, there's nothing wrong with that. But the moment it crosses that line, Bible says there is. If you can stay stationary, then you're not crossing the line. But when you do, it is what it is. Let God be true and everybody else a liar, right? Right? I mean, the standard is God's. It's not mine. I can't tinker with it. I just got to obey it. And the fact is this, cover your nakedness. We've got 30 seconds for four more points. Ready? Number one, to cover completely, head to hoof. Number two, that's righteousness. Number two, your dress should be full. It should not be revealing. Over in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and in verse number 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, he addressed it. I don't have to stay here long, all right? But your clothing should not reveal your form. I was going to say a lot about skinny jeans, and he did an awesome job, right? They're just disgusting. Man, It's weird. But the fact is this, and look at this real quick, in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, let's go in verse number 8. I will therefore, because we always read verse number 9, right, ladies? You know, well, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You say, what's that have to do with dress? Well, read the next verse. In like manner. So women are to dress just as these men are. In a spirit here. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with sham, faintness, and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. So what do we get in verse number 8? All right, our dress, what, how are they? Lifting up holy hands. All right, that doesn't mean you have to stand and be like, oh, I'm going to pray now. All right, it's not one of those. All right, what it means is this, I'm clean. God, I'm coming to you and my hands are clean. To the best of my knowledge, I'm not hiding sin. I'm not, I have some sin trying hidden in my back pocket. I'm coming with holy hands. And if our dress is that way, we're able to stand before God and say, God, I know my dress is okay. You're probably doing all right. But not only that, without wrath. If you're mad at me by something I've already said, your clothing's causing wrath. Mine hasn't. I'm happy. You're lucky. I'm good. But if you're mad about something I've addressed in your clothing's causing you wrath, which you're not supposed to dress in that way. And what? Doubting. I know that the way I'm dressing is okay with God. I don't doubt that at all. I'm on the board. You're looking at a board member of the BCSA, the Buckeye Christian School Association, right? We have big meetings and we talk, all 12 of us, and we're so important. And, and they're having this big push. They had this big sports meeting. And they had this big push and they wanted to change the dress and let the girls wear pants and warm-ups and things in Christian schools in Ohio, right? And they said, and me and this other guy, we said, no. It's not right. And we stood and did not want to, bow down to what the majority was saying. And praise the Lord, they decided not to change it on all their big meetings, right? Whatever they do on their own, they're doing. But they decided not to change it. But the fact is this, right? Their reasoning, what they wanted, they said, well, what they're wearing now is not modest. You know what my answer was? You're right. You're right. And they said, well, what do we do? You know, and they started, and I said, I raised my hand. And they hate me already in that meeting. I've been on the board now for 6 months, and I think there's like this coup going on already. But I raised my hand. I said, our school doesn't have a problem with any of this. And I'm not bragging on me or our school. I'm just saying, if you want to not have a problem, there are things you can do not to have a problem. Question is, do you want to do it? I mean, I learned this a long time ago. People do what they want to do. In this passage of Scripture, goes on to verse number 9, in like manner, in the same way, without wrath, with holiness, without doubting, should women dress, adorn themselves in modest apparel. Brother Olson already talked about it. It is the long, flowing, orderly garment, wearing what you should wear. It's not revealing of the form at all. It is orderly, it is long, and it is flowing. And the word that I hope you caught in his definition is a letting down. Because the letting down is the submission. When I say you should dress in a full garment, we're talking about humility. A lady, her hair is to be what? Long, let down. A man is up. With a lady's garment, it should be let down, long and flowing. I'm not trying to be weird in any way, all right? But a man's pants are formed with a crotch in the pants. There is a cutting up. And so we decided, and this is what the biblical conviction I came to, which is all I'm sharing. You pray, the Holy Spirit will lead you, all right? But I came to the conviction, I want to follow the Scriptures in letting down. Our school and our church don't even wear culottes anymore because they divided bringing up. And I want them to understand, I want to stick to the Bible to the best. I have no doubt that what they're wearing is modest. So I've made that choice for me. Right? I've made that choice for me. And based upon this reason, I want the hair to be let down. I want the skirt, as the Bible says, to be modest and flowing and let down. That's the word, is a letting down. And so I've, and praise the Lord, I've not had problems. It has brought a change in everything. And I believe it's just another way of trying to honor God and dressing in humility. Because let's face it, pants are an authority symbol. That's the way God made it, that bringing up the breeches. And every time, as he said, five times in the Bible, breeches are mentioned. It's always with men. Women should not wear that which pertains to a man. Neither should a man put on a woman's garment. But the fact is this, we should dress according to our gender. Ladies should wear long flowing, the letting down, and men, the girding up. Every time the Bible talks about girding up, it is always referring to the man. I know I gave you a lot to think about, all right? But just pray about it. I believe it's a matter of authority. And I want to know, in every area of my life, I don't want to stand on the line. Y'all, amen, Brother Allison, all great. When he said, you don't want to stand on the edge of the cliff, right? That was a pretty good impersonation right there, right? You don't want to stand on the edge of the cliff. And I'll be like, Raymond. And I'm saying, hey, we want to dress in a way that doesn't bring doubt. And you're like, I mean, it comes to a point, am I just want to please God? Amen. When I just want to please God, I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to please God. Because the love of Christ constraineth me. Number three, I can just do you real quick. These last ones are really quick, I promise. Number three, wool is pressable. So what do you mean pressable? Your nicest suits, your military uniforms, it's a matter of honor to have a wool suit. I don't own one. Too expensive. They have a wool suit. Because pressed, they're crisp, they're sharp. It demands respect. Your appearance should be orderly. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 40, let all things be done decently and in order. That includes your dress. This sloppy look, baggy pants, untucked halfway in, turned sideways hat, hair all messed up. You may think that's cute. You may think it's no big deal. But it's opposite of God. Because God is orderly. That's why we don't wear things that accentuate us and bring attention to us. Even your what you write on your clothing, all right? Back a few years ago when I first became a teenager, every shirt said hottie on it. I'm so glad that fade's gone, right? Hottie. Hottie. Nobody knows a word. Hottie, right? Everybody said hottie, right? Glad that's gone, because you shouldn't be wearing clothes that says, hey, look at me. When you look at a man in a uniform for the whatever, Marines, whatever it may be, and they're dressed in their full garb, it demands respect. And you don't think of the man as much as you think of the Marines. And when people look at me and the people look at you, they don't need to look at Travis Burke or you. They need to thank the Lord. May he receive the glory. That's why you be careful about your high heels, ladies. There's nothing wrong with wearing a high heel, I guess, if you're a lady. I personally don't wear them. But if you're a lady, there's nothing wrong with wearing a high heel, but there is a line there. It's like makeup, all right? My dad used to say, if the barn needs painting, paint it, all right? But the fact is this, all right? There's a line there. You can put on too much, wear too high heels. Now that today I see a fat a lot, people write things on their rear end. Oh, it drives me crazy, right? I just want to kick it. It's like a target, right? But all it is people, you know, drawing attention to themselves. I mean, can you imagine? Hey, don't you miss the name tags this year? Where are the name tags? I was just like, the other day, I was like, I don't have a name tag. Did I miss it? No one has a name tag. You're supposed to have those little plastic name tags you throw away when you leave, right? It's like, where are they? Can you imagine? Right? And we wear them right there. Can you imagine pinning all those on a rear end? Now, I'm not being funny, right? Why would we never do that? Because it's immodest. It's gross. It's drawing attention when it should not be. So don't wear anything else with writing on your rear end. Wool is number four is this. It's fireproof. Do you know it won't burn? It just singes and goes out. It's self-extinguishing. I believe we need to dress in strength. You know the passage, I can't turn it for time's sake. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're a born-again believer, you will stand the judgment seat of Christ. And there will be many things that are wood, hay, and stubble that are going to burn when they're tried by fire. And all this clothing that you're so proud of and stiff-necked today about, and I'm not changing mine, it will mean nothing in eternity. But I'll tell you this, when you dressed right and pointed people to the Lord, that's different. That will mean everything. As a born-again believer putting on a mini skirt, you're pulling people away from Christ. Some revealing top, some guy wearing some earring in your ear. You need to dress in a way that brings honor to God. It helps the cause of Christ and points people to the Lord. Number five, the wool will insulate. Dress in righteousness. It insulates. Wool's a great insulator. It keeps what's inside warm. When you're dressed in the right way, your heart stays warm. Put on the wrong clothes, you'll cool off quick. You'll cool off quick. I got to quit for time's sake. Number six, and lastly, in a sheep's clothing, there's a natural oil in the wool called lanolin. Dress in salvation. You know what lanolin does? Keeps you soft. Helps heal wounds. Isn't that interesting? Our dress should be one. Again, oil in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Just let the Holy Spirit have control of this issue. You know what you'll do? You'll help people. You'll help yourself. It'll keep your heart soft. Some probably in this auditorium, I hope it's not the case, but some may have gotten already hard-hearted and said, well, I ain't listening to nothing else that guy says. He's crazy, right? That's fine. But the fact is this, if you'll be dedicated just to dressing as the Holy Spirit leads you, your heart will stay soft. Amen. You'll be able to help people. Amen. The fact is this, wool, clothing, say it's not a big deal. I always look at people and say, if it's not a big deal, why are you having such a hard time with it? Right? It's not a big deal. You know, wool in itself is not worth 15 cents a pound. It's not worth anything. Until you put it in the hand of the master craftsman. Then its value goes up out the roof, man. Same wool. See, it's just clothing, no big deal. Let God have control of it. It becomes something of great value. Honor Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your many blessings. God, thank You for the opportunity to look at this area. And I pray You teach us. Help us all to keep growing. Lord, may we think on these things. Father, help us to meditate on the Word of God. God, I love You. I just pray You take this moment of invitation. In Your name I pray. Amen. Let's